Wow.
I love these people in Utica, New York.
The mayor's office is not for sale.
Yeah, it is a mystery to me that I didn't win. I gotta tell you.
My opponent had a crew of people who spent the last couple of years not being terribly truthful, and you know, they did their job. And we have a local newspaper that I think they've been gunning for me for 4 years.
I love this job. I love this job. I know I can't make everybody happy all the time, but if you look at and we ran on our record. We ran on our record.
I want everyone to know that I take this responsibility very seriously, and I feel honored that I've been entrusted to represent the people of Pittsfield as their next mayor.
A very nice little montage of what happened last night in the local races, which were beautifully covered last night here on WAMC from 9 to 11 with Ian Pickus and the WAMC news crew. All good stuff, and you heard a lot of happy people who won, and a lot of people who were
sad.
So happy. Yeah, not so happy. Perhaps not as happy. But obviously we'll have much more in the elections throughout the day, throughout our newscasts, and, of course, during Midday Magazine with Brian Shields at noon today. So congratulations to the whole crew for a great job tonight. We're going to be talking about elections as well with some national issues that were discussed at the ballot box yesterday. Let me introduce our panel to you before we do that and get into it. First of all, our dear friend Dr. Alan Chartok is here. Good morning, sir. How are you?
Well, I'm just dandy. Thank you for asking.
You have a very nice hat. You know, it says get inspired, but I thought when I walked in, it said make America great again, but it doesn't.
This is actually my Kripalu hat.
Oh, it's very nice.
Don't you think it's the right color and all?
It's very harvesty. It's you like know, a harvest
rusty,
orange.
Rusty.
Yeah. Yes, very nice. Yeah. I don't know. I have just complimented Alan on how he looks. I want to compliment you on how you look, but I don't know if he'll be mad at me if I do that.
Yeah, don't bother.
Okay, all right.
No, but you do look good, but Joe makes a very good point. If we compliment you on your looks, you might...
Yeah, I would rather you tell me how brilliant sexist, I am. Or
you know, well, you are brilliant.
Witty or something
well, we
like
that.
That.
Well, you're brilliant because they invite you to make speeches.
Oh, yes, at UAlbany today.
Yes.
And they identified me as a National Public Radio speaker, so I'm feeling like I'm going in as a fraud.
where is the speech and what is it?
It's at Conversations at the Standish, and it's to showcase research and expertise by UAlbany faculty. I wish I had not read the public relations release. I was all calm about it until I read that. Now I feel like some big thing is expected of me.
Well, you'll be great. You'll be great.
You'll be great.
We'll see.
Yeah.
I'll let you know tomorrow.
Okay. We look forward to that. and you look great, too.
Thanks.
Libby Post is with us. Smile on her face. And thank you very much for being with us, Libby. Great to have you here, political consultant. Did you have any dogs in the race yesterday?
Yes, I did. I had two libraries, one in New York, upstate, in Niagara County, Wilson, and one in Connecticut, and they both won.
Excellent. Congratulations.
And then I had another candidate who did not win.
Okay. Well,
but Danny McCoy won. Norm Masery did not win.
All right.
Unfortunately.
So there you go.
What was the name of the second one? Who did
Norm Masery for State Supreme Court.
Yeah. Oh, State Supreme Court, yeah.
Yeah. It was a squeaker, which is interesting and speaks to the credibility of the present Albany County Democratic leadership. But
more to come, I think.
Well, this is sort of intensely... You know, it's personal intensely. And professional. So
no, not from. It's not personal per se. I mean that whole thing.
Well,
yes, what's
job.
Going on there? Yes, is. But it's about. Let's just say that when party leadership posts things that say, "Pray for our candidate," Democratic Party leadership posts, "Pray for our candidate because you know it's like God wants her to be the judge." I'm like, really? It's not really.
I feel bad for Albany High School. Didn't get the new building.
Well, not clear yet.
Not clear.
I doubt.
It's looking bad.
Well, 10 votes.
That's it?
That's it.
Last night
votes.
It was a little
And you know that I gave
that.
A little talk on the radio twice yesterday talking about how everybody's vote counted, and I had been in situations where one vote lost it or won.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, we'll see what happens. It's a hard sell.
Well, it's a tough one. You know, they want to build a major new high school in Albany. The old one looks good from the outside, just like Monument Mountain does in Great Barrington. The voters voted down. Now, in the Albany case, there are a myriad of reasons why it went down. I've talked to some people who live in Albany who thinks that programmatically the issue is not putting up a new high school. It's just making it programmatically better. And in fact, that pointing to places where, 100 years older or 50 years older, where the results are better than a 50% graduation rate.
We were discussing that before.
Yeah, that's
Libby's
theory, too.
Just saying.
The schools need to... As much as I love the public schools and I love what some people have been trying to do, they really do have to prove their case in terms of providing a better education. And we have some new people on the school board who might be able to move things forward. So we'll see.
All right. So let's get to other topics at hand, and we will talk about what is going on elsewhere. We begin with we introduced everybody, right? Yeah,
yes.
We're all good.
Well, yeah,
okay.
I was just wondering about that myself.
Yeah, I think.
So anyway, you can't do it too many times, but we have Rosemary and Libby with us.
Yes. Yeah, we went through everybody. Yeah.
And Alan has a nice hat. Let's go on.
Okay. All right.
And we're all
getting
beautiful.
Getting testy.
Damn
okay.
It is.
Ohio. Let's talk about Ohio. Wow. Voters rejected a ballot proposal Tuesday that would have legalized both recreational and medical marijuana in a single stroke, a vote-getting strategy that was being watched as a potential test case for the nation. Failure of the proposed state constitutional amendment followed an expensive campaign, a legal fight over its ballot wording, an investigation into petition signatures, and predominantly a counter campaign against a network of 10 exclusive growing sites that it would have created. It was also the only marijuana legalization question on the 2015 statewide ballots.
I don't think this was a vote against marijuana. I think this was a vote against that system that would set up basically a monopoly. It would give 10 people, including... Who is that guy? Nick Lachey? Is that how you say his name?
Lachey.
Jessica Simpson's first husband.
That's how I know him, old bachelor guy.
Who's Jessica Simpson?
She's a big star. Pop culture. You have to stay awake to find out about that,
though, Alan.
You have
to read People magazine, Alan.
So anyway, he would run this empire, and the state would actually give him a grant to make a lot of money, and that's what people voted against.
It was actually Nick Lachey?
Yeah. Yeah, he's the guy who's behind it.
Wow. The idea of providing a monopoly in a state constitution is a little problematic.
Well, I think if I were in Ohio, I would have voted against it, too, that reason.
I'm not discounting what you're saying, which certainly I understand and agree with you on. My other question, though, is don't we have to take steps? Like, you make the medical marijuana step, and then you make the recreational marijuana step.
Apparently not. Apparently that wasn't what the philosophy was. We'll salt the mine.
Well, what I'm meaning is for it to be successful. The states where it has been successful is you have brought it in and you said, okay, we're going to make medical marijuana legal. We're going to see how that goes for a certain amount of time. We're going to set up a certain infrastructure, and then we're going to grow on that to add the
recreational. I can't fault the strategy because they're thinking, well, we would be, the sixth state that has done it. So there is really a record of how it's worked in other states, including Colorado, that's making so much money they have to figure out what they're going to do with their marijuana dollars. So I can't fault the strategy, but tying it into a business structure that's supported by the state, that's really extreme.
Well, Rosemary, don't you think it's possible that that's one, instead of saying that's the reason it went down,
it's one of
the reasons. There's still a lot of people out there who do not believe that marijuana is a good thing.
You're right, including the governor of Ohio. Kasich said that in the last debate.
Well, we had our wonderful Jenny Michaels, who is the expert on marijuana here and on heroin, and who does all of that work, and she's here on a regular basis. And several months ago, she said, look, you can say anything you want, but it is a gateway drug. And it's not a great thing to do. Now, whether I agree with it or not is irrelevant. I've never smoked marijuana in my life, and I'm never gonna. But the truth is that we have a situation in which a lot of people don't like the idea that marijuana is legal.
Yeah, I certainly can't disagree with that. I think that a number of things combined, so sure.
I think if marijuana is going to be illegal, alcohol should be illegal. I'm sorry. It's more people die from alcohol-related deaths You know, that look at what happened up in Saratoga where the kid died from Skidmore because he was hit by a drunk driver.
Well, you're
You know, I think this whole scary, you know, oh, everyone's scared of marijuana. It's like, legalize it. We would close a lot of our budget gaps. People would be a lot nicer to each other. And I don't see it as the biggest threat of a gateway drug.
Revenue would go up.
Right.
Yeah.
I mean, you know,
a couple of things.
Number
one, two wrongs never make a right. But I have an idea about how to handle the alcohol problem. Let's make it illegal. I'm just teasing
We've tried that already.
Right. And the fact of the matter is that people are going to smoke marijuana anyway. You know, and so we might as well make it legal, have some controls over it, and profit from the revenue.
So let me answer that. Do you think it's true that some people will smoke marijuana anyway, but some people won't if it's against the rules, right? Isn't that true?
I don't know.
It hasn't worked really well nationally.
Oh, yeah,
You don't think anybody just obeys the law? Hey, I drive if it says 45, I drive at 45 because I believe that's the right.
Aren't you a Boy Scout?
Yes, I am, and I was. But you know, because I happen to not to be one of those people who breaks rules.
Well, you
and
know,
I think
the
there
thing,
are a lot of people in a society who are that way.
Yeah, but look at all the other rules that people have broken that have come across, or first of all, that have been overturned, and that were stupid to begin with, like sodomy laws. I mean, the fact of the matter is there have been gay people, lesbian and gay people, from the beginning of time, and antiquated perspectives on sexuality created sodomy laws. And people were then destroyed because of it.
Well, there's a whole lot of other examples
of
this,
Joe.
Alan, you're always lecturing about the difference between the way things should be and the way they are. So let's look at abortions were illegal. That didn't stop abortions.
Drugs are very dangerous.
Same with drugs. They are illegal. They are widely used, much stronger things than marijuana. I don't know if it's a gateway drug or not. Is alcohol a gateway drug?
Yes.
By making it legal, we get a chance to regulate it. We get a chance to control its use and the use of the money that comes from it.
And the war on drugs never won anything.
Right.
Okay. But don't you guys think that we are in a situation here where the genie is out of the bottle with alcohol? We know that. You're not putting that genie back in that bottle anymore. And we have a country which has huge amounts of alcoholism.
Mm-hmm.
Terrible. But on marijuana, the genie is not yet out of the
bottle. Oh, I think you're wrong. I think the genie's been out of the bottle since 1967.
Well, you know what? I can argue both sides of this one, to be fair. I mean, I can argue the same side that you are, that we're enabling, you know, the mob, for example, to make money on marijuana and to distribute it and to do it. But I think the only thing I was responding to in the initial conversation was, I think there are reasons it went down other than that it was a phony Maloney sort of proposition. I think it also went down because there are a lot of people who don't like marijuana.
Look, this is the middle of the country. This is the swing states. This is one of the swing states, Ohio, right?
Right.
And there's a great deal of conservatism in that state. And so you're seeing the product of that. You go to Colorado, it was automatically that they did it.
Yeah, but you know, Alaska voted for it, too, and that's pretty conservative, too. So I don't know.
I think that it would have passed if it wasn't for, the corporate monopoly that was going to be written into the Constitution.
Mm-hmm.
Let's take a break. When we come back, I want to talk a little bit about Kentucky. And then we will get some letters as well. We'll be right back after the short break.
Support for WAMT comes from Unusual Wedding Rings and More in Crawford Square, North Street, downtown Pittsfield, featuring a variety of jewelry specializing in repair, remodeling, and recycling. 413-236-9300. Troy Savings Bank Music Hall, presenting NPR's selected shorts, Uncharted Territories, with Sam Underwood, Patricia Callenber, and Boyd Gaines, November 13th at 8 p.m., TroyMusicHall.org. And Beacon Arts, inviting listeners to November's second Saturday in Beacon, special events, gallery openings, artist receptions, tastings, kids welcome, many shops open till 9, Saturday, November 14th, BeaconArts.org.
Thank you.
All right, we'll get to Kentucky in a minute. Let's get to some of the letters regarding what we have on our discussion about the marijuana vote in Ohio.
Hi, everyone, says EJ. I have to say I'm in complete agreement with Libby. Marijuana will be used anyway, whether legal or not. I'm a big supporter of it. Laughing out loud, she's also right about the economic benefits that will follow legalization. Our country owes so much all over the place, and if every state was making as much as Colorado and the like, we could make a huge dent in our debts. The genie's out and about, Alan. Sorry, buddy, and I think there's enough of us who love Mary Jane. Have a great day, everyone. That was from EJ and MJ. Okay, so Jill says, hi, panel. Could you discuss the Kentucky governor's race where a Republican who plans to get rid of the health exchange and expanded Medicaid beat the incumbent who first set it all up? The news... Yeah.
Coming up.
It's coming up. Okay, that's coming up. That's right. And William says, good morning, folks. Worked at Albany High School for 32 years. Infrastructure neglected for decades. 50% four-year graduation rate. 25% dropout rate. Many district administrators live outside Albany, earning a six-figure income. 60% of the property tax exempt. Voters approved a smaller facility plan in May. Albany's homeowners are tax burdened. I'm proud that Albanians had the courage to vote down the Taj Mahal. Let's see here. And Joel says, good morning. I'm raising my hand. I don't smoke pot now, but if it were legal, I would. Just like I occasionally have a beer or two. I would not automatically turn to heroin because it is illegal and the side effects are unpleasant to say the least. Great show. And Charles says, the time has come to legalize pot. Is there proof it has effect on cognitive ability? Not sure you're correct, Libby. People will be nicer. Now pass the peace pipe, please.
I said that people would be nicer.
Yeah, no, I think, not sure, I probably read it wrong. Oh. Not sure, Libby, that people will be nicer.
It depends on the type of marijuana that they purchase, if my scouting expedition in Colorado was any indication.
And John says, Libby is wrong, capital letters. I hate the argument that alcohol kills more people than marijuana, therefore marijuana is safe. It may be true that more deaths result from alcohol use, but it does not, and that's in capital letters, mean marijuana is harmless. Marijuana isolates its users and has many deleterious effects on its users. Believe me, I've done a lot of research, says John.
Yeah, come on. Yeah, butter so is deleterious to your health, too.
And how many people benefit medically from marijuana? So give me a break.
Well, I was just saying butter is deleterious to your health, too.
Okay. And Tom says, hi, Alan. You're absolutely right. Marijuana is a gateway drug, and a lot of people don't like it. As your panel pointed out, alcohol can be painted with the same brush. And as Libby pointed out, like homosexuality, marijuana has been around a long time, and it isn't going away. And that's from Tom.
All right, let's stop there. We'll pause because we have to take a break. When we come back, we will get some more letters. We'll talk about Kentucky. We'll talk about other issues that are making news. And we, of course, welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. It's very simple. Roundtable at WAMC.org. And we'll take your emails there. Alan Chartok is here. Rosemary Armeo. Libby Post. I'm Joe Donahue. And we'll continue our conversation right after this short break. Good morning. Welcome back to the roundtable and to our panel discussion this morning. Alan Chartok is here, Rosemary Armeo, Libby Post, and we're ready to get back into it. We welcome your comments. Roundtable at WAMC.org. Matt Bevin, a Republican political novice, wealthy Louisville businessman, and Tea Party favorite, was elected Kentucky's next governor on Tuesday, swept fellow Republicans into statewide office with him. The stunning victory heralds a new era in a state where Democrats have held the governor's mansion for all but four of the last 44 years.
You know, this is an interesting one because I think the Republicans in their own way, remember when David Duke ran years ago down in Louisiana and everybody disendorsed him? Right. Well, I think there was some of that here. I think the Republicans weren't happy about this guy's candidacy. They stopped giving him money and this stuff. Towards the end, they said, hey, this guy's going to win, so we better start. And it was all about Obama. Because Obama is apparently so unpopular in Kentucky that the guy didn't appear at all. All they showed were pictures of Obama on the television. And that seems to have been the deciding factor in this. So that's it.
Well, this guy is being trumpeted as the local Trump.
Yeah.
Trump
he, well, he has no experience, a lot of money, a big mouth. So there are many comparisons. It'll be interesting to see what he does with Obamacare. Kentucky had approved it and thousands
Medicaid
of people.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Thousands of people signed on to it. He's backtracked in recent days and said, no, he won't take anybody off. He won't remove coverage, but no one else will get on.
Wow.
You get what you vote for.
I can't believe
Kentuckians want this. So
well,
let's see what happens.
In Minnesota, remember Jesse DeBody got elected. Everybody said, well, it's going to be a disaster. To some degree, it was. And they didn't. That was the end of him. Yeah. You know, so sometimes you got to live with it.
And we have, what's his name, Brown back in Kansas. Who has put into action the full teabag agenda. And it has been a disaster for that state.
It has bankrupted
schools and,
the state.
Absolutely. And we don't read a lot about that, but it's very fascinating. Mm-hmm. So I think what we have to do is pay attention to this same movement that is giving Trump and Carson some 50% of the prospective Republican vote, put this guy into office. And what's happening? What is happening? And what do we do about it?
So what do you do if you're the Republican establishment, if you're the Bushites, if you know? What do you do? I mean, you know, the days in which it was assumed that if a rich Republican ran for office and had semi-moderate views, went as far as they could go, talked about, you know, I'm against abortion, Ronald Reagan, you know, that kind of thing, that would be all right. But now there is this full-scale revolution going on by a very small demographic within that place, but enough to go to primaries and vote their guys in, and it can do nothing but help the Democrats.
Absolutely. It's a small demographic within a grouping of states. You know, it's very interesting. You can probably bet on which states are going to elect some of these whack jobs because of who they are and the rise of the Tea Party in those states. And, you know, I mean, look at Houston. You know, to me, it's a perfect scenario here. It's a good comparison. We had Houston, who had passed a non-discrimination ordinance, and we have this small group of wackos down in Houston who made the whole issue around bathroom use. And I know you talked about bathroom use yesterday. Mm-hmm. And now disenfranchising thousands, hundreds of thousands of people in Houston.
Disenfranchised? They can't vote?
Well, no, you know, they're not there. For me, disenfranchisement is also about making it legal to be discriminated against. You know, they're discounting all these people. But it's like the easier it is to understand, he's bad, he's the boogeyman, he's made your life miserable, I don't really have to tell you how I'm going to make your life better.
All right. But also you make a very good point, Libby, and that is that all you got to do is find one exception that proves the rule.
That's right.
That you say proves the rule. So, and I think it was when we had that discussion yesterday about the transgender use of the girls' bathroom or locker room, I think at least I was very concerned about the implications towards the larger movement, that this is something that really could untrack, if that's the right word.
Well, we saw it yesterday.
Here's what I think is the real problem. These laws, laws came into effect in our country, good laws to protect the minority. Our minorities, these very conservative, you call them whack jobs, I don't know that we should be calling them names because they are a serious affront to our system.
Well, you call them teabaggers. That's
as bad. Yes, you're right. We should stop that. But these laws were put into effect to protect minorities. They are being used effectively. The problem is that the majority could win if only it participated. And we have low voter turnout. We have complete apathy. We have a sense that, oh, it doesn't matter. They're all the same. And so that is really what's giving these small extreme groups the power they have.
Well, you know, not to divert too much from what you've just said, but I got to tell you, the proof is in the pudding. Yesterday we did a Vox Pop from 2 to 3. And I had two great guests, Kevin Moran, who is the vice president for news at the Eagle, who knew every race and ins and outs of what was going on in Berkshire County. And we had our wonderful Mike Spain there. And we got three calls. In other words,
right, people don't
three
care.
Calls. Yeah. Now, somebody could say, well, that's you, Alan, because you're not good at this. But I am good at it, and it happens all the time.
It's not that people don't care. I mean, look at the Democratic primary voter turnout here. It was less than 20% in September, and the turnout yesterday wasn't all that great. People just feel like it doesn't matter who they vote for.
Except when the mud hits the fan, because in Great Barrington, my tiny little hamlet named by Smithsonian as the best small town in America, truly, when they put up these monumental, terrible Holland Tunnel lights, you know, in the town, everybody got mad. And then everybody says, throw them out.
But that's their quality of life.
Well, yeah, no, it's their quality of life, but one in one makes two. And sooner or later you say, well, wait a second, those guys are supposed to be representing us, representing us. How come they're not?
Well, there is a failure on the part of many institutions to imbue our young citizens with the duty to vote. Schools are responsible, families are responsible, and the media is responsible, too. Media are responsible, too.
Well, and it's not getting any better, as you know, better than any of us, Rosemary, because you teach it. As another five people are laid off in a newsroom somewhere, there's going to be less and less of that kind of coverage.
Yeah, so news gets compressed and trivialized.
You know, I've been working politics in this town for a long time, and one of the things that was said to me early on, we don't really cover this stuff because it's not sexy. It doesn't sell papers. You know, local elections.
Well, it's interesting because, you know, I read it to
engaged.
I read it to you religiously. And I have to tell you, the TU is not a paper that caters exclusively to the racy. It's not the Daily News. It's not the New York
Post. No, but
They do, on most occasions, try to behave in a responsible fashion.
Yeah, but yes. And I love the folks at the TU. Yeah. However, they'll do one article on a race. You know, they'll do one article on a race 2 days before a race. That kind of thing. They'll give it short. It's just, there's not enough people.
Well, they
people.
Know what I know.
And it doesn't sell papers.
Well, no, they also know that you have a vox pop and three people call.
That's exactly the point. That's exactly the point. You know, people aren't engaged because they're not given a reason to be engaged. And the media isn't doing its job of covering it, and so they're like, well, if they're not talking about it, it's really not important. If it's not in the paper, it's just a self-fulfilling prophecy.
Well, I don't know. There are some people who are very responsible about finding out what's going on in their hometown. My bed has been half empty for many nights now because my wife takes off to go to all of these informational meetings about things that are happening. So there are some people who just say, oh, no matter what, I'm going to take the time to do that.
I agree with you, Alan, but when you have a 19% turnout in a Democratic primary, and I don't know what the numbers were yesterday, but it wasn't a big turnout, it's like people are like, why should I bother to vote? It doesn't impact me. And, you know, there were times when I've just totally divorced myself from politics for a year or two just because I needed a break. And honestly, what difference did it make in my life? My life went on.
It depends.
Yeah.
It depends. If they do something that is salient to you, as the Great Barrington Powers have done with us.
With your Holland Tunnel traffic lights.
Yeah, among other things. You know, then what you do is you say, hey, how did that happen? So it isn't as if there are no consequences to not voting or absenting yourself.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But I can understand how people think, what difference does it make? Because they're going to keep doing what they're going to do. My one vote doesn't make a difference.
Which is why Preparar is a great hero, and why the Shelley Silver.
God, how do we get – that was a leap.
Because I'm about to tell you. Because if you look at the Shelley Silver – Libby's right on track. You look at the Shelley Silver trial transcripts, which have been coming out fascinatingly every day, and there are people who are saying, okay, I get it. Business as usual in Albany, they're allowed to do a certain amount of influencing. I would read that stealing because that's just the way that it is. And that turns people off.
Well, there's no solution for that except what? Not cover it? Not
I'm
cover
sorry.
The corruption? Yeah.
No, I think you have to cover the corruption.
That's the thing that is puzzling to me is that we have to engage people and excite them about politics, and yet we also have to investigate and cover stuff like business as usual. It's a bind.
Let's take a break. We'll come back and we'll talk more about this. We have many letters to get to as well, and we'll return after the short break.
Support for WAMC comes from the Lake George Land Conservancy, Bolton Landing, New York, maintaining 32 miles of trails throughout the Lake George region for hiking, birding, and outdoor exploration. HikeLakeGeorge.com. Harold's Ice Cream, Thorne's Marketplace, downtown Northampton, Massachusetts. Over 300 flavors of handcrafted dairy and dairy-free ice creams, cakes, hot fudge, and more. Harold's.com. And the office of Dr. Vivian Letizia, Woodstock, orthodontic, cosmetic, and general dentistry, welcoming longtime Woodstock resident and dentist Dr. Stephen Dallow to their practice, WoodstockDentist.com.
Good morning. Welcome back to the Roundtable panel. We have a lot of letters to get to. We'll go with those, and then we'll try to get in a topic or two before we dismiss for the morning.
Okay. I'm not going to read Michael's because
yes, I am aware of what
it's
means.
A little too racy for the show.
Yes.
Teabag party members is the correct term.
Yeah. Oh, tea party members.
Yeah. Okay. And
bag part is out.
Yeah.
Okay.
We
Sorry.
Have the smartest, most. Yeah. Most concerned people with the use of language around here. So we heard from Jay Solo, who said voter turnout is low because political campaigns, especially national level, are too long. There's no other democracy in the world where candidates run for office for 18 or 24 months. This is insanity. The citizenry doesn't have this kind of attention span. Let's limit it to 90 days. And while we're at it, let's eliminate private money from the process. And that's Joel. And then let's see here. Cody says, good morning, panel. A way to get better voter turnout is to have a national holiday so everyone is off work. Let people vote online or provide a tax incentive even. In some countries, they shoot you, or they did, if you don't show up to vote.
I don't know places where they shoot you. They can fine you.
Okay. Reed says, granted, there are many interesting results from yesterday's election to cover. However, I've heard absolutely no mention of the broad, universally embracing of anti-corruption and campaign reform. Votes in Maine, Ohio, Seattle, San Francisco are very important and deserve your notice. Well, Reed, you've done it. Okay, and Barbara says, the religious right was out big time. Bevin supported Davis, the woman who refuses to issue same-sex marriage licenses. And Ted says, finally, says Ted, I agree with you 100%. All drugs are gateways to other drugs. People that want to legalize marijuana simply want to ignore that. There is a lot of things legal that should not be, maybe. P.S. America does not have a drug problem. America has a get-high problem. If you take away one popular drug, people will sniff shoe leather, even though, as if it would get them high. And, okay, and Rosalind says, good morning. I would love to hear your analysis of Joe Ganim's victory in the Bridgeport, Connecticut mayor election. As I'm sure most people remember, he's the mayor who 5 years ago was released from prison after serving 7 years for corruption in the same office.
Reed, what do you think of that?
Yeah. Well, what?
He was the reader who said, see, people are rising up against corruption. Not so much.
There you go. And Cassandra says, the plan outlined by the new governor is repealing the state's expanded Medicaid program and KYNECT, the state-run health insurance exchange. These decisions will affect the health insurance of about 500,000 people. I work at the exchange in New York, and I wonder if a Republican is elected to the White House and they actually repeal the ACA, how many people will lose insurance and how many people will lose their jobs? How many people will lose their insurance and or jobs in Kentucky? Moments like this make me wish people would educate themselves more on the issues before voting. And Fitzhugh says, marijuana prohibition. Marijuana has been used by humans for thousands of years. Its prohibition is a recent phenomenon. Like the alcohol prohibition, it will soon be a footnote in history. An expert discussion of this topic would be well received. We've done it many times on Vox Pop, and we will continue, and as well as doing it here. Rich, too much time is spent on the presidential race by WAMC and TV and newspapers. Local elections were covered more at one time, but voting and finance reforms are needed in the USA. Tell me one thing from New York State races. Let me say, Rich, I have to take great exception to what you said here. We had Ian Pickus and the entire WAMC news team out there covering all of these races last night. It was by far the best and only performance in this area that reached that level of analysis.
Which, and I would only add to what you just said, by what we did yesterday in the previews in Midday Magazine and throughout the newscast last night, as well as this morning during Morning Edition, and we'll do more
but,
in Midday Magazine.
But I think the point here is not just the night before or the day of the elections. Coverage has to happen all through a campaign in order for the people to be educated.
It has around here, and we have really done a yeoman job, if I may say so, on most of these races. Okay, so thank you for that, Rich. Michael MC.
You may not mean that.
No, maybe I didn't. Thank you. My amusement is certainly enhanced by the astuteness of the roundtable panel. Carry on. It has those two like dots in a parenthesis.
No, that's a
smile.
Happy face.
That's
face.
A happy face.
That's not. I'm just kidding. Okay.
No. If there was a little no.
He doesn't know about emoticons. So
right. If there was a
later.
Tilde coming out, that means he's sticking his tongue
out.
Okay, and Warren says, through discussion about the legalization of marijuana, town of Neversink, New York, just passed by a very close vote to allow sale of alcohol in restaurants after decades of prohibition. Okay, and when the first guy gets out of a first restaurant and crashes into somebody else and kills him, somebody's going to say that was a bad idea.
If you'll allow me one moment, I do want to. I was watching election results like crazy last night. In Lower Makefield Township in Bucks County, Pennsylvania, because my best and oldest high school friend was running for supervisor for a second time, a Democrat in a very Republican district, and he won.
Yay.
And I was very, very pleased. So John Lewis will be supervising the people of Bucks County, which I have no dog in that fight, Rosemary.
Oh, don't say that. that means you like dog
Actually,
fighting.
Actually, I have a dog in that fight because Bucks County was the first county in Pennsylvania, actually the first municipality, who really went out to market to the LGBT community about, like, come here. We want you here.
Sure.
Yeah, the whole thing. And so they're, you know, there's a small part of my heart that's very happy.
Well, there's a new sheriff in town, and from what I know of the new sheriff, he should be a really great guy.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay, fine.
Very good guy.
Well, my daughter is living right across the bridge from New Hope. Okay, so there we go.
Oh, in New Jersey?
Yeah, in New Jersey.
Yeah, that's
right,
really cool.
You
right
know what's interesting, just worth the mention, is that the charter reform for Albany County went down in flames yesterday, which is really important because it was going to give the county legislature the power to downsize itself and also the power
to
vote to choose the next county executive in case the county executive died or had to resign like that. It was just such a power grab, and it went down 60%.
It's interesting. You can fool most of the people most of the time.
But you can't fool them all
the
time.
And the idea, when Mike was on the Vox Pop, and we were doing a lot of talking yesterday, because there weren't an awful lot of calls, and one of the things...
weren't there a lot of calls? We already talked about it.
One of the things I asked him, you know, about is, you know, are there any real reforms in the charter? And the answer was no.
Nothing.
There weren't. It was
nothing.
Self-serving garbage.
Yes.
Which is why I have issues, although many people disagree with me on this, on the proposed constitutional convention for New York. Because the same guys who were running the show will be running the constitutional convention also. My pal Jerry Benjamin is running the other side of that one, and I just have big problems with it. Andy says, with the spectacular economic polarization over the last 35 years, the richest, ever more wealthy and powerful, the poor pushed to Dickinsonian destitution, now comes accelerating political polarization. And on. Okay, we got it. And then Bill says, I don't vote, didn't vote. I live in Half Moon. All positions were uncontested. I don't vote for anyone who runs unopposed. Okay?
That actually seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay.
It's sad, too.
It is sad. It is sad. You know, yesterday's Supreme Court race, if you look at the there were 15,000 blanks.
Jeez. Because no one knows or cares.
No, that's for people who wouldn't vote for a Republican but didn't want to vote for the Democrat candidate.
But, you know, I don't know who to vote for tree warden in Berkshire County. So
educate yourself, Alan. Educate yourself.
Yeah, no, that's right. I should be
there's
out there.
There's a tree warden?
Well, in Alford, where I used to live, there's tree warden, I believe.
You have to vote, for the tree warden.
Yeah, yeah. So
he keeps trees in prison?
So I was looking at
that's really,
tree warden.
That's, you know, yeah,
and I was saying, okay, now wait a second. Which name is closest to my name? Where do they live in relation to where I live? You know, that kind of wonderful
warden.
Thinking.
What do they do, the tree warden?
Okay, and I don't know. They ward them up. Andrea says, gateway drug, isn't it because marijuana is illegal that it is a gateway drug? With the current system, once you have access to pot, you also have access to a host of more pernicious drugs and a seller who is motivated to get you hooked. If marijuana were distributed through legal outlets, this would no longer be the case.
Right.
And
I don't think there's a rise in heroin use in Colorado yet.
Okay, and then we discussed this, but what the heck. Mark says, if you read the article, Ohio Weed War, in this week's Rolling Stone, you would see that the vote was really against the monopoly that would have created it if this initiative were passed. We did discuss that, so you got to listen to the whole show. Good morning, panel. Libby, I'm sorry, but I cannot agree. Potential economic benefits are no reason for legalization. The same thing should be said about prostitution, indeed. And
that's going to be with us through the millennia as well.
Should we legalize sex for money just because it can bring more money into the economy? Legalizing pot takes us down a slippery slope. Well, one day, Joe, maybe we can talk about prostitution, legalization of prostitution, because
you know, we just had a big segment on it yesterday.
Yes, you did. It was excellent.
Thank you.
I do not believe prostitution is a choice, and I would like to be on that program when and if you organize it.
And Eric,
okay.
And Eric says, marijuana genie has never been in the bottle. The attempts to put things in bottles, that is prohibition, has failed. Okay, and let's see here. And
we have 20 seconds.
Oh, boy. I love Libby, but her theory is that her closest of the Reba Massey race is as a reflection of Albany County Democratic machine is erroneous. While the seat was for Albany County Supreme Court seat, it is an election in the 3rd Judicial District that includes voting in 5 counties, Ulster, Sullivan, Schoharie, etc. As a trial attorney for the past 28 years, I feel strongly that Reba was the best candidate, period.
That's good.
All right, we're out of time. Thank you very much.
What?
We are.
Oh, no. I was just getting warmed up.
I know. You were just getting going there. Meanwhile, Rosemary's ready to go write a speech. We'll be...
polish. You don't say right,
right
when
that's
you're
right.
This
right.
close.
Yeah, it's polish.
What room is your speech?
Standish room at the Science Library.
Right,
Albany.
Upstairs.
At 12:30.
Yeah. Okay. We're out of time. Thank you all very much. Bye.